All right. Well, hey, everybody. Good to be with you again, albeit not together this morning. And who would have thought it? After more than a year of COVID restrictions, surrounded by all the social and political unrest, and finally at last regaining our kind of rhythm, once again scattering and gathering out and about during the week, coming together for worship on Sunday mornings in person. And now here is this weekend with all of her extreme temperatures making it unsafe really to gather in the sanctuary. In fact, the temperature recorded on Friday morning was already hitting close to 80 degrees. And so you can imagine, add another 20 degrees and a number of people in the room, and we run the risk of all kinds of heat stress. And so here we are again, meeting virtually. And with that, I found myself remembering and reflecting on this past year some, and all of the struggle and uncertainty and the unknown and the wondering what tomorrow will bring. And yet again, in the midst of all of that, in the midst of another transition, in the midst of another change, in the midst of the struggle and the wondering, I am reminded that one thing remains, right? That the heart of Jesus remains, the love of Jesus remains the same for you and me, for sure. For those who are in the midst of another transition, absolutely, another change. For those who are in the midst of the struggle and all of the wondering, the heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus remains the same. Hearing the cry of your heart and mine. We read of this Jesus' love all over the scriptures. But run with me today to the Gospel of Mark in chapter 10, a passage all about the love of Jesus expressed, noting in this particular passage, Mark uses the word mercy, noting mercy is the tangible expression of love to the one who is in need, to the one who is in a transition, to the one who is in the midst of the struggle, to the one who is in the midst of wondering. Noting that leading up to this passage at 10 and 46, it is all about Jesus, what he is up to, where Jesus is literally on the way. At 8:27, Jesus, along with his disciples, it says they are near Caesarea Philippi, and we read they are, it says, on the way. At 9:33, again, Jesus with his disciples, and he asks them what they were arguing about, and there we read, but they kept quiet because they had argued, it says literally, on the way. 10 and 17, Jesus started on his way. 10 and 32, they, the disciples, and some others, were on their way up to Jerusalem with Jesus leading the way. And then in today's text, on the way appears two more times. The word way in Greek is hodos, and it is translated as a way or a path or a road. It's this idea of traveling over a distance. It can also carry the idea, again, of a way or a path, but as in a way of life, or a particular manner or approach or posture. We've talked about this before. And so, yes, Jesus here is traveling a distance, heading from up north in Galilee, down southward toward Jerusalem, and he is engaging, living a particular way of life, a way of doing life with others, a manner, a posture, an attitude. And along the way, then, Jesus, he is leading, pouring into his disciples, right? The heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus, right? Doing life on the way. And with that, we pick up this way of doing life, this manner of life. And from verse 46, we read, then they came to Jericho, noting that Jesus has been up north, has been all over Galilee. Now he is on the way heading toward Jerusalem, keeping in mind Passover is drawing near. And so, yes, Jesus is on his way to Jerusalem, but he is not the only one. In fact, Jews from all over, some estimate the number at hundreds of thousands, some even say up to 2 million, who would also be making this pilgrimage to Jerusalem for this religious feast. So they have come to Jericho. As Jesus and his disciples, together with a large crowd, many also on this pilgrimage, making this trip for the annual gathering, and as all of them, it says, were leaving the city, a blind man, Bartimaeus, which means son of Timaeus, was sitting by the roadside begging. So here is Jesus, his disciples, and this great number, this crowd of people heading from Jericho to travel the last 15 miles, the nearly 4,000-foot climb to Jerusalem. They are leaving the city, and sitting by the roadside begging is a blind man. Bartimaeus. Bar is Aramaic for son, hence the name Bar. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, and the text says he was sitting by the roadside, which carries a kind of double meaning that, yes, he is sitting by the road, quite literally, but also carries the idea instead of, as in a marker or an indicator of contrast. And in that sense, he is sitting by, meaning he is other than. He is the other, someone who is different, anyone who is different, other than. And we can think again of you know, our world today, race, gender, all the ways we classify and categorize, all the ways that we elevate some and devalue others. He is sitting by, meaning whoever the other is, and we all have someone or someones. He is sitting by, right? Meaning he is an outcast. He's in the margins, the vulnerable. He is the minority. He is the destitute, the unemployed. He is the poor, the alone, the discriminated against. He is sitting by. Verse 47, when he, that one, that other, heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, it says he began to shout. That is krazo in Greek, and often translated to cry out or to call out. He is shouting, crying out, calling out, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Mercy comes from the Greek word eleo, meaning to bring compassion or relief for the afflicted, help to the suffering. Again, the heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus. Mercy is that action of love, showing favor to one thought unworthy. To which it says, many rebuke him, epitimao in the Greek. That can be translated to scold or to express strong disapproval. The crowd is critical, telling them to knock it off, to shut up. But he pays no attention, right? He is blind. He is desperate. He has been pushed to the margins for far too long, shoved aside. So it says he shouts all the more, Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me. Show me your heart. Show me your love. Right, see me, notice me, value me. Bartimaeus, he could have listened to the strong disapproval. He could have listened to the voices saying you are a nobody. He could have listened to those who say you really don't deserve it. He could have listened to those who devalue and discriminate. And yet, here is Bartimaeus, ignoring the voices in the crowd. Enough is enough. There is another way. A way that goes the heart of Jesus, that goes the love of Jesus. Verse 49, Jesus stopped. And a more literal translation would be, and Jesus stood still, which is beautiful. In the midst of the crowd, rebuking, dismissing, degrading, discriminating the other, the one who is different, other than, on the way, he hears a voice cry out, and Jesus stood still. Right, Jesus, he hears the cry of the heart, and it's his heart, the love of Jesus, right, that responds. And Jesus, it says, stood still. On the way, Jesus, he hears a voice cry out, a voice call out, and Jesus, it says, stood still. And Jesus stood still and said, call him. That can be interpreted, notice him, acknowledge him, recognize him, welcome him. So they call to the blind man, cheer up, on your feet, he is calling you. And I love this, maybe one of my more favorite passages. I love that one moment, right? They are rebuking him, sit down and shut up. And the next moment, get up, cheer up. Note the cheer up comes from tharseo, and it means to have courage or be courageous, to have confidence. He is calling you, right? Cheer up. Verse 50, throwing his cloak aside, he jumped to his feet and came to Jesus. 51, what do you want me to do for you? Jesus asked him. Which, quick side note, not really, but this is the same question Jesus asks of James and John, two of his disciples. Noting James and John, they wanted the most important seats. In effect, they wanted status. They wanted power and position. They wanted to be great. They wanted to be set above the other. But here, the blind man, he says, Rabbi, simply, I want to see. And we don't want to miss this, Because the blind man, the one pushed aside, discriminated against, he simply wants to see the other. With that, the word rabbi in the Greek, it's a bit different here, rabboni. It only occurs twice here and once in John. It's similar in meaning, but can be translated as Lord or Master. It means to claim as one's own. The disciples, writes Garland, and we can think of James and John, asked exactly the same question in the passage just before this one. The disciples, writes Garland, see Jesus as a Messiah who will bring them mastery and glory. Bartimaeus sees Jesus as the Son of David who brings him healing and sight. The irony here is that the blind man, the one who is different, the one who has been classified and categorized, the one who's been devalued, the one who has been pushed aside to the margins, we could say that he is the one who truly sees. And then immediately, meaning at the same time without delay, it says immediately he received his sight and followed Jesus on the way. And what began as a story of the other, a story of one who is thrown to the margins, oppressed on the outside, has transformed into a story of a blind man not only seeing in a literal sense, receiving physical sight, but as one who sees the other. He received his sight and followed Jesus on the way, meaning he is no longer sitting by. He is no longer in the margins. He is no longer an outcast, tossed to the side along the way. He is now one who sees the other on the way. From Garland, this story reveals that Jesus expresses mercy for the despised outcast. Right? The heart of Jesus, the love of Jesus. So what about us? What about you and me? Do we see the other? Do we see the other? The oppressed, the outcast, those in the margins, the hungry, the dirty, the tired, the invisible, the pushed aside, the vulnerable, the poor, the destitute, the weak, the helpless, the worried, the troubled, the burdened, the one who is in the midst of another transition, the one who is in the midst of a struggle, the one who is in the midst of wondering. Do we see the other? And maybe even more, I love this. The text says that Jesus, he stopped, right? He stood still. He was on the way and he stood still. Do we stop? Do we stand still? I mean, we could ask, do we say, sit down and shut up or get up and cheer up? Which one do we offer to the other? And with that, do we follow Jesus? Do we follow his heart? Do we follow in the way of his love? As expressed in this story, in the way of his mercy. And again, think to help one afflicted or seeking aid. Do we follow Jesus in the way of, do we help the one who is afflicted? Do we provide for the one seeking aid? Do we care for the one in need? And then maybe to wrap it up, we could ask it like this. Who needs you today to be an expression of God's heart and God's love? What expression of the heart of Jesus will you provide for the one who is in need? Right, Jesus, he stopped, he stood still, and immediately the other received his sight.